Bipartisanship is an oxymoron. Now, it could be true that you have two very distinct and disparate ethnicities, the Spanish and the French, for example, that have two very different and disparate and really unique cultures, language, customs, could come together in a kind of bipartisan fashion to act upon, in for both of their benefit, a singular truth. But you can't have two truths. You can't say, oh, that's a circle. No, it's not. It's a square. Well, let's have a bipartisan agreement and meet in the middle. Well, you got half circle, half square? What in the hell would you use that for? Ladies and gentlemen, this is the stuff that I was doing back in 2012 and 13 when I first started taking Philosophia Perennis, when these things began to be clear to me. And if you haven't taken Philosophia Perennis, go to Catholicism.org and take it. Get the course. It's well worth the $300 or whatever it is that the store sells it for. It's 124 lectures. It'll change your life. Seriously, though, people want bipartisanship, but then but we didn't come to an agreement. You started off at warring sides. You know, when you go to look at the great summits, if you will, peace summits in history, the only ones that are successful and bear any fruit are the ones where everyone that comes to the table to conclude a peace agreement agrees on the entirety of the agreement. Probably the most notable example would be the agreement, the Treaty of Ghent, I believe it's called, where the United States agreed, or King George III agreed with the Continental Congress, the Confederation Congress at the time, agreed that the former British colonies, all 13 of them, had all become free and independent countries, that England would treat them as a federation of sorts. We'd also treat the individual states and recognize each one of them as an individual state with its own sovereignty. And this involved a lot of things. This is why you pay me the little bucks and why I was on Sirius XM on the Patriot Channel for so long, because stuff goes in, doesn't come out. I know things. Well, let me just share something with you. You know what part of the Treaty of Ghent, you know what part of it did? It basically said that the ocean, the Atlantic Ocean water off the coast of Providence, Rhode Island, off the coast of Massachusetts, which would have included Maine at the time, off the coast of New Jersey, off what little coast there was of Pennsylvania, off the coast of Virginia, South Carolina, North Carolina, and Georgia, basically said that those were fishing waters that belonged to those states and that the British Navy would observe such. And the British Navy would not, the British citizen would have no claim to those territorial waters, including the fishing rights. Thirteen entities went in the presence, in the person of John Adams, to treat with King George III, and it was not a bipartisan agreement. It was a singular partisan agreement that all parties agreed to. It's the only way this works in the singular world, but you can see it as it should work in our world when you see it through the lens of the truth. As Mrs. O'Connell says, we're not Catholic radio. Who told you that? We're really, really good radio that has some Catholics on it. And sometimes when it's necessary, we see things through the goggles of Catholic social teaching, moral teaching. Okay, is that so bad? Sue me. No one sues anyone. Nobody flies off the handle when someone sees things through the goggles of other Christian denominational or other Christian denominational goggles. We happen to think our goggles are the correct ones. And that's the extent of it. But this civil conversation, your time has come. I agree with her. But we ought to agree on certain points. And that is that not everyone is going to be right. I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way. That's the fatal flaw. And it's ultimately going to fail if you go into it with that in mind. Well, no, everyone has to have some, everyone gets something. This is the great Faust. Everyone gets to take something away from the table.